the South is now the fastest growing region in the U.S., according to census data compiled by the New York Times. That has got big economic implications, but it's also got big potential political implications. For more, we're joined from New York by Derek Thompson, senior editor with The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
So why are we seeing this now?
First, let me define the South, or at least share the Times definition of the South, which is this crescent of land swooping up from Texas and Oklahoma up through Kentucky and Virginia, and including everything under that. Historically, the South has been sort of a swamp. You know how water collects in bogs and just sort of sits there? Demographically, that's basically what was happening in the American South for the first half of the 20th century. Families born in the South wouldn't leave. They would just stay. And families born outside the South wouldn't move south. But in the last few decades, you really have this dramatic influx of migration, both from Mexico and Latin America and from other states in the U.S. And the demographic swamps of the South are slowly being churned a little bit more.
And when you look at state-by-state numbers, is it clear that Florida is the big winner, or Texas, or what do you see?
Florida certainly sits between a lot of different interesting trends of migration. First, you have a lot of people coming up from Latin America, from Cuba, et cetera. And then you also have a lot of Yankees and a lot of Californians moving to Florida to retire or to find jobs, to move into what used to be cheaper housing and then blew up. And that does bring up the point that one of the reasons this is happening is that living costs are a huge problem in the U.S. But there's a lot of cheap housing in the South, and that cheap housing has encouraged a lot of people to move away from what are frankly more productive parts of the country into the South. But because people and economics sort of drive each other, this migration has contributed to a little bit of an economic renaissance in the South as well.
Well, but if you think back over the last several decades, until President Obama, every president right before him, Clinton, Reagan, Bush, Nixon, Carter, they all came from these Sunbelt states. That includes California, of course. But what's different about what's happening now from people deciding in this country over the last half century or so to migrate into the South?
Well, I do think that a huge thing that you're looking at sort of economically and demographically is this housing cost problem. It's been widely reported that it's impossible to find any apartment under like $2,000, $3,000 in San Francisco. I live in the East Village in New York in an apartment that's approximately the size of a standard cardboard box because that's what I can afford with my paycheck. You do just have a lot more land in the South, and so that's what's driving it. But you brought up politics, and this is a really interesting component of the shift. The fact that you have a lot of Americans moving from what are typically blue states to what are typically red states like Florida, North Carolina, Virginia. That means that these Republican populations are suddenly being diluted by Democrats moving from California and New York and Rhode Island. And this makes them attractive targets for national Democratic presidential campaigns and for Senate campaigns as well. What you're seeing happen is a bit of housing costs moving people, people moving economics, and housing and people and economics moving this political shift in the South as well.
Well, and perhaps nowhere is that a bigger question than in Texas, which has been a red state, but a lot of people have been predicting for years now that it's going to be purple soon.
People do keep predicting that Texas is going to be purple soon, and there's actually a couple interesting reasons why we shouldn't think it's going to become as purple as Florida or Virginia are considered right now. First, you have to look at who is moving to these states. The people moving to Florida and Virginia are often coming from, again, the West Coast and the Northeast, the classically blue states, and so you have Democrats diluting what have historically been Republican communities. In Texas, however, Texas has an enormous influx of people, but they're not coming from the West and the Northeast. They're coming from the rest of the South, from the rest of the country. So in a way, to oversimplify a bit, just to make the point really clear, within these national migration patterns, you're seeing a lot of Democratic types moving to North Carolina, Virginia, and Florida, but a lot of Republican family types moving into Texas.
When you talk about all of these people coming to these states in the South, I have to think about the places that they're leaving. And I wonder, is the Northeast a big loser here? Is California going to be a loser?
there's a couple things to say here. First, they're moving from the Northeast, which has definitely seen some population sort of flatlining. They're moving from Latin America, which is definitely having some influx into the U.S. But California really is the loser here. And I've talked to mayors in the South, and they have a line that they love, which is that the 1930s, we saw the grapes of wrath, people moving from the South and the Midwest to California. And now we're seeing what they call the wrath of grapes, which is people moving from California back into the South and the Midwest. And that's a nice little term to just help you think about what exactly is going on. But this would be a good time to point out, overall, migration within the U.S. is actually in decline for the last three decades, mostly because people aren't moving to find new jobs.
They can't get jobs in other places, and so they're staying put?
You do see a lot of people sort of dropping out of the labor force that can't find work rather than move. When you had more single-earner families, it was easier for someone, often the man, to say, okay, I can't find a job here. Let's move everybody to a new city. But think about what happens when you have dual earners, when both the husband and the wife are working. If the husband loses his job and the wife is still working, then it's harder to move. And that's one of the major factors that's led to this decline of overall migration, even though the migration that is happening is, as you pointed out, specialized and concentrated in the New South.
You know, Derek, you did not mention very much migration coming into places like Mississippi, Louisiana. I see that 90% of the population there is still Southern-born, so they're not benefiting as much from this.
No, these are your demographic bogs where the water is just sort of sitting there. And again, economics moves people and people move economics. I think that one thing that you're seeing is that the lack of opportunities for families interested in moving aren't great enough even to make up for the fact that these are extremely cheap places to live. One of the things that Texas has done extremely successfully, for all the criticism that it's taken from liberals, is it is a job magnet. It creates an unbelievable number of jobs. And so that's one of the reasons why you do see so many people moving to these job hubs and not a lot of families moving to places that are cheap, yes, but don't have any opportunities for people trying to start a family.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, if you are someone who has moved from one state to another state, where did you go and why? Let us know at hereandnow.org. And while you are there, you can link to this incredible state-by-state analysis from the New York Times that allows you to look at any state, see how many people who live in that state are from that state, how many people moved in from other states, what those states are, how many people moved in from outside the country. We've got the link at our website, hereandnow.org.